it is, the show that everybody's been raving about, ProCalc University, with your host, Tom Platania. All right, everybody, welcome to ProCalc University. Today's podcast is going to be about energy codes. Now, when we talk about energy codes, every time you build your home, build a home, or every time that you do a major renovation in your existing home, most states require that construction to be up to that state's energy codes, meaning you may be required to have a specific thickness of insulation in your walls. You may be required to have a certain window type or efficiency rating. Your insulation, your ceiling, different things like that are what drive the reduction in energy cost for each of the individual states. Now, some of these states are not as up-to-date as others, such as Florida and California are probably two of the strictest when it comes to certain things. California, definitely, but California has their own individual thing. They call that a Title 24 in California, but every state has different, and a really good place for you to go to check these things, I'm going to give that to you towards the end here. I don't want you to get too excited and run off and check that and miss the other information we're going to be talking about. So we're going to give you that towards the end of the podcast today. But energy codes are very important. In Florida, every time a new home is built, an energy code, an energy calculation must be done. Now, depending on if you're trying to get special tax credits and things like that, then these energy calculations become even more intense, even more detailed, where you have to get into a HERS rater that actually comes out and rates each and every appliance in the home and the efficiency of the air conditioning and everything you do, and then puts that all together to really get you some strong ratings. However, all of this really is dependent on your budget too, because there's a lot of things you can do. You know, we can all go out and buy triple pane windows, and we can all put R45 insulation. We can all build these beautiful air seal, double thick insulation walls and all this fancy stuff. But it's a matter of what you can afford, because those triple pane windows, they're not cheap. And putting R45 plus in your attic, well, that's not cheap. And so on and so forth. So the individual states have adopted. Now, the code itself is the ICC, International Code Council. They are the ones that publish these different codes for everybody. And we're gonna let you know where you can go to find those. And there's a book in each state, and the title of the book is pretty much the same, Energy Conservation. But each state has its own year associated with it, such as right now, as of this podcast, Florida has adopted the 2020 code. Yes, it's 2022, and they've adopted a code from 2020. It's been in effect for a little bit. So, you know, every 3 to 4 years, they'll make some changes to the code for different purposes, things that they've learned, you know, trying to reduce the energy consumption even more. In this website, the book that they have, there's a lot of detailed information in there. It's really good, especially if you're going to build your own home. Do not rely on your architect, your builder, your HVAC company, or even your HVAC design company to dictate to you. Now, certain states use two different forms of energy code, which will allow when you're building a new house, all of the construction components, the air conditioning system and whatnot, are pulled into a software program. And we're going to use Florida as an example. And there's a couple different software programs in Florida that we use. And what we do is, once we construct your house and do the load calculations and we determine the size of the air conditioner and the efficiency rating and all these different things, we're then able to bring that calculation into the energy software. And what the energy software is, it's looking at everything. It's looking at the R values of the walls, the insulation values in the attic, the type of windows, the infiltration that we talked about in a couple of our previous podcasts. It's looking at the SEER ratings, the HSPF rating. It's looking at your water heater. Yeah, water. You could probably tell I'm from Jersey, right? It's not water, it's water, right? It's a different kind of water. But it's looking at all these things. And, you know, the code by itself, they have two things. It's called the prescriptive method or the performance method. These two items are used. Now, in some states, you have no option. It's prescriptive only. Talk to you about the difference here in a minute. But Florida allows you to use either or. Not sure why either or is allowed. The prescriptive method is very strict. Now, when they talk about what is the state's energy codes, the prescriptive method is based solely off of each and every one of those individual codes, meaning the state of Florida specifically determines if you're going to put windows in. The windows of your house must be have two specific factors for them. Now, that's the U factor or the SHGC, solar heat gain coefficient. Now, in the state of Florida, you have to meet a specific number or less for your windows to pass. Doesn't matter if every other part of your home passes. If the windows aren't, you fail. So for instance, in Florida, if you're not using impact rated windows, your U factor must be 0.40. Now the U factor, if you listen, go back and listen to the last podcast, you'll find out what the difference in U factor and SHGC are. They have different climate zones, and you can go and Google climate zone map, and it'll show you all the states, the map of the United States and all the individual states in there, and it'll show you the numbers for each of the zones. Now, we're talking about Florida, but when you go to the website that I'm going to give you here in a little bit, and you find your zone, for instance, Florida is in zones 1 and 2. In zone 1, which is all the way down at the very, very, very tip of Florida, Miami, the U factor is not registered. They don't care about it. As you get to the higher climates, climate zone 2, climate zone 3, and you could tell by the numbers that the higher the number, the farther up the United States climate zone is. So climate zone 1, they don't care about the U factor at all. Climate zone 2 is where they start at the 0.4. And then when you get into climate zone 3, it goes to 0.35. And if you go back and listen to the other podcasts, you'll hear and understand why the U factor requirement is lower as you go further north. Then you have the solar heat gain coefficient. Well, solar heat gain, obviously the sun, the heat coming down, obviously the farther south you go, the higher, the better that number needs to be. So in Florida, in climate zone 1 and 2, basically all of Florida, that number cannot be any higher than 0.25. Any higher, you fail. Your house fails. Everything else can be Mac Daddied out, triple pane. You could have a SEER 400 air conditioning system, would not matter. Your windows fail, your whole house fails. Part of the prescriptive method. So you're kind of getting a point there. The prescriptive method in your state, if that's what they're using, and it's in Florida, it's called Form 402, and that's pretty much in most of the states what it's called. If any individual component, if the air conditioner is not in conditioned space, in Florida, if it's not a heat pump, if the ducts aren't in conditioned space, if your windows don't meet, if your windows are greater than 20% of the wall surface area, all these individual things that are part of the energy code, if any one of them is wrong, the house fails. So it becomes very difficult for most builders to keep within a budget range. It becomes very difficult in many places to achieve those values. In Florida, what they have is they have a process, another energy called the performance method. Now, with the performance method, to put it in more simple terms, is if you take in a hat and the hat's the house, and you have all these pluses, meaning all these energy things in your home that are really efficient, that surpass the code, but you have some other things that are less than the code. They don't quite meet it. Let's give an example. In Florida, the energy code specifically states for prescriptive method that you must have a 14 SEER heat pump. If it's not a 14 SEER heat pump, it fails. But with the performance method, if I took a 16 SEER straight cool system, I'm losing points because it's not a straight cool, but I get a little extra points because it's 16 instead of 14. And in some instances, that'll pass. Now, that's only if there's something else. And basically think of it this way. How many pluses do I have versus how many minuses? It's a little bit more detailed that behind the scenes, but that's basically what it boils down to. How many pluses and how many minuses? So if I have more pluses in energy conservation than I have minuses, I pass. when somebody comes to us and says, well, you know, my builder, my window company said that I have to have, it's a non-impact window, so I have to be 0.40 on the U factor and I have to be 0.25 on the solar heat gain coefficient, SHGC, in order for me to pass. And I'm like, well, yes and no. Yes, you have to have windows that good if you don't have other things. If they wanted to have those windows which meet code, but they didn't want to put a heat pump in and they wanted to stay with 14 SEER, there's a good chance that they may not pass. It's just a matter of the house. And now, not every house is the same. So I can have different houses with different square footages facing different directions. And one may pass easily with basic windows and a 14 SEER heat pump because of all the other components, because of the direction, because of the solar heat gain, because of all of these individual items. But the other one won't because of the same thing, its directions, the use of the house, so on and so forth. So everyone, now, if you stick to the prescriptive method, doesn't matter. It, you know, every individual thing. So if your ducts are correct and your air conditioning system is where it's supposed to be and your windows are exactly what they're supposed to be and your walls are exactly what they're supposed to be, you'll pass. It doesn't matter. But that can be very, very expensive. And for most people, they can't necessarily afford that. Otherwise, they would have to greatly reduce the size of the home to be able to afford the $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in added energy conservation things that they would have to purchase, you know, better windows, better insulation, better air conditioning system, so on and so forth. So something to take into consideration. So when most people are using the performance method, there are some states that you have no option. You get one, you have the prescriptive method, period. That's it. You can't deviate from it. We typically do the performance method for most of the homes that we work on in South Florida, for probably 99% of all the houses we work on in Florida. Now, we do work throughout the country. We do most of our work in Florida, but we do work in California, Colorado, Texas, New Jersey, New York. I mean, all over. We've done work in Zimbabwe, Cayman Islands, Hawaii, you name it. We've done business there. And you have to learn these codes, especially with California. California is very, very strict in their code. So there is no wavering. It's not a performance. It's everything has to meet this value, period, which in a way is good. Now, obviously with California, you know, it's just walking over to buy a soda is 10 times more expensive than, you know, anywhere else. But it's, you know, there are some good things when they dictate that, you know, people just, they're not trying to circumnavigate the system and fiddle with things. Your water heater makes a huge difference. You know, when we get to 40 or 50 gallons, but the minute you get over that 40, 50 gallon electric water heater, you end up having just tons of issues trying to get. You know, some of these builders, they're coming in with these 60, 70, 80 gallon electric water heaters, and it's, wow, it's tough to get house to pass. So looking at these things, so the site that you want to go on to where you can educate yourself about your state's individual energy code, you can go to codes.iccsafe.org. And now when you go on there, you're going to find your state. And when you go there, you're going to find the book that says energy conservation. Always want to look at where it says current edition, because some locations you'll go to and it might pop up 2015, but the current edition they're using might be 2018 or so on, or something of those nature. So when you go to that, codes.iccsafe.org, and that's going to bring you to a site. You select your state, and then you're going to find the book that says energy conservation. And when you click on that, over on the left-hand side of the page is going to be all these numbers, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, the first part of this is for commercial. The second part, where it's another chapter 4 comes in, you'll see it says residential energy efficiency. And this one chapter section right here is going to give you a lot of the information that you need, whether you're an architect or a builder, an HVAC company, a homeowner, whatever it may be. This page is going to tell you exactly what you can and cannot do. And the great thing is that they put a lot of the big things on tables. So for instance, we talked about Form 402, which is Table 402. And what that does is that dictates, based on the climate zone, what the prescriptive requirements are for the windows for all the climate zones. The fenestration, the U factor, if you have a skylight, they're a little different. The glazing fenestration, which is the SHGC, it lists that. Ceiling R-value. If it's a wood frame wall, they have an R-value for that. If it's a mass wall, like a block wall, they list it there. For instance, in Florida. In Florida, if you have a block wall and the insulation, which typically it almost always is on the inside of the block wall in Florida, you must have R6 if you're doing the prescriptive method. That is not, and here's one thing that a lot of people, especially architects, builders, and even some HVAC companies get wrong. When these values that they're showing you on these charts, they are not calculating air gaps and webbing on the block walls and the fairing strips and all this other stuff in between. They are talking about added insulation. So in Florida, if I'm building a house, the block wall, and my insulation's on the inside, the insulation value itself, the added insulation value itself, must be R6 or greater in the prescriptive method for it to pass. Now, in the performance method, it doesn't have to be R6. It could be R4 or R4.1 or R5, as long as I look at somewhere else in my house to increase what code requires to offset the negative on the wall insulation. And we run into this one quite a bit, where a lot of people will call us up, want us to do their calculations, and they'll fill out a special form we have. And you can actually get this form at procalcs.net. We have it set up there under Contact Us. But they start trying to calculate these things in their head, and they're like, well, no, my wall's an R7. So they think that they're doing one better. And we've trained our team to make sure that we don't just ask, what's the R value? We ask, tell me how you're getting to that R value on your wall. And that's where we find out that they start talking about the air gaps and the fairing strips and the drywall. And then I'm putting R4 insulation. So with all that other stuff, it comes out to an R7. The building code doesn't care about all that other stuff, because all other stuff is pretty standard. All they care about is what you are adding to that structure. So R6 is the minimum that you can add if you're going to do the prescriptive method. Well, that one item right there, you could have a SEER 20, you could have triple pane windows, but in the prescriptive method, again, like we said, if the wall does not meet R6, the house fails, period. So performance method doesn't. So if they're going to have R4 in the walls and their windows aren't going to quite make the 0.40 and the 0.25 that we talked about, they're going to have to do something with the air conditioning system, because that's one of the biggest factors. They're going to have to maybe go to a 16 SEER heat pump, and they might have to go to a tankless water heater, and they might have to go to something else. So a lot of these things come into play. Another big one that in the prescriptive method that gets people, which forces us again to have to go to the performance method, is what's the percentage of window to walls? So if I take my entire surface of my walls and then I subtract out, or I take the percentage of window square footage, if the windows are greater than 20% square footage of the wall square footage, under the prescriptive method, your house will fail. Now, in the performance method, if it's greater than 20%, you can still get it to pass. But again, it becomes more difficult. You have to find other things. I can't go with a 14 SEER heat pump. I need to go to a 16 SEER heat pump. When we're doing this, and like I said, 99% of the people in Florida don't use the prescriptive method because they just can't, or they don't want to build the house or have the house built, or if they're architect, they don't want to design the house with that strict of guidelines for whatever the reason. For me, my first understanding is monetary value. It just gets too expensive with some homes if you're trying to find a home within a price point of a client type. So when we look into the performance, some of the big things in the performance method that, again, a lot of these are mandatory in the prescriptive, such as going to a heat pump. And, you know, a heat pump system, again, we talked about that in our past podcast. The heat pump system in Florida, if you are going to use a little bit of heat, it's very efficient heating. But there's a lot of people that in Florida would never turn the heater on. So they're like, well, I don't need a heat pump. If I turn my heater on twice a year, I'm lucky. So why would I spend the extra money? Because a heat pump system is more expensive. Could be, I mean, I don't know exact dollar amount, but it could be in $1,000. If I have to spend more for it and I'm not going to use it, why would I buy it? Or why would I need it? Well, because with the energy codes, you get a lot of points. You know, if you're putting a point factor with everything, you get a lot of points for having a heat pump versus a straight cool system. The other thing that you get a lot of points for is having a duct leakage test done. Now, in Florida, new construction, a blower door test to see how leaky your house is mandatory. You can't get away from it. And in Florida, that's 7 air changes or less. And anything below 3 air changes, you have to actually bring in outside air. Again, we talked about this in one of our last podcasts that you can go back and listen to. Duct leakage test is not mandatory in new construction if you're not using the prescriptive method. In prescriptive method, you have to have a duct leakage test and you actually have to meet a certain criteria. But if you're doing the performance, and let's say you couldn't afford to get the Mac Daddy windows, and you had to go with a 14 SEER heat pump because you couldn't afford a 16 SEER heat pump, and you had a 60-gallon water heater, there's a good chance that that house isn't going to pass. But if I do a duct leakage test and I get my duct leakage within a certain percentage, that gets so many points, I could end up passing my entire house just with that one thing. And doing a duct leakage test, having the company test it while they're out there doing your blower door test is not that much. A few $100, $300 maybe, depending on how big your house is, how many grills, and so on and so forth. If you get it to where you need it to be, you get a ton of points for that. We use that all the time. You know, there's certain things that our team looks at. If, you know, they put everything in that the customer, the client wants, and the architect or the builder and or the homeowner that comes to us, and they put all the original factors in that the client wants. Now, a lot of times we can just look at me, especially with my background, I can just look at the things that somebody's giving me and I can tell them right off the bat, your house isn't going to pass. You know, and that's when they come to us with these window values of a U factor of 1.04 and an SHGC of 0.35. In climate zone 1 and 2, and I already told you climate zone 1 doesn't care about U factor. In climate zone 2, the U factor is not as important. So if the SHGC is low enough, even with a 1.04 U factor, we've had houses pass. In fact, we have a client, a builder, who his windows are always 1.04 and point, I think he's at 0.27 or 0.30 SHGC, but they do other things in the house to exceed the energy code to make up for the negative of the windows. Because those windows in some cases can be very, very expensive and a lot more expensive than upgrading the air conditioning system to a 14 SEER heat pump or 16 SEER straight cool or 16 SEER heat pump or spending $200-$300 or whatnot on a duct leakage test. And then, you know, if it's leaky, if the air conditioning company is the one installing it, they're going to fix it for free. So you have your duct leakage test company come in at the same time they're doing the blower door test. Your air conditioner guy could be there at the same time, and then they can go up there and fix the leaks. When I was doing my duct testing, when I was studying for my my class one ResNet National Energy Rater license that I have, we would actually introduce smoke into the duct system while we were testing it. And somebody would go up in the attic and you could watch the duct system and see where the smoke was coming out of the duct system. And that's where you would know that there was a leak and that the duct guy could go up there and mast and seal it up and tape it really good and make sure those leaks. And then the testing would happen again, which would then show and document and print out a report that gives to the building department that shows that the duct leakage is well within the range or in the range of what the building code requires for your location. And they're all different. So little things like this. The other part is the air changes, the ACH in your house. You know, in certain climate zones outside, I think it's climate zone 3 and up, you must be at 3 air changes per hour or less, or your house fails. In Florida, same thing. For the performance method and prescriptive, 7 air changes or less, and your house would still pass. I mean, we talked about that in the last podcast. I mean, 7 air changes is like leaving the front door open. Hey, the state allows you, but the problem is it's so inexpensive. First, if the house is built properly, the architect does it, the builder builds it, and all of his subcontractors are responsible for making sure that they do their job to get the house tight enough to meet within that code. But it's so easy to walk around with a foam can and walk around and just start seeing little gaps, especially around the windows and the receptacles and things that lead to the outside. If you have ceiling insulation, making sure that the ceiling is around the hi-hats and electrical thing, and going in and just spraying around that stuff to seal that air gap. What you're doing is called the thermal envelope, and you want to make that thermal envelope as tight as possible to get it within that range. But the key here is if you just let things go and you're like, yeah, I can be at 7 air changes, I'm just going to get it as close as I can, and I know I'm still going to pass. The problem is that is going to cause you to have a much larger air conditioning system to offset the massive amount of air that's constantly circulating through your home. Your air conditioning, you're heating this house, but because it's so leaky, all that stuff's just going out or coming in. You know, and depending on whether the house is positively or negatively pressurized, you're going to be sucking in or pushing all that stuff out that you have. And you don't want that. So you want to get the house within a reasonable tightness so that what's going on, and if you get it too tight, like less than 3 air changes, then what you can do is work on getting the air exchange properly. And we're going to do another podcast on that because there's a couple different ways that the building code allows you to exchange that air. But as far as I'm concerned, two of them make absolutely no sense. Yeah, of course, the third one that I believe is the right one is obviously the most expensive one, and not everybody can afford it, but it's the smartest thing to do. And we'll talk about that in another episode. Two types of energy calculations, and there's one called a UA alternative, which is it pretty simple. Similar to the performance method. It's not as strict as prescriptive method where you have to have a certain thing and that's it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. ICCSafe.org website, codes.ICCSafe.org, and you'll be able to pull up your state and your codes in there. And it's a boring read in some of it, but you'd be surprised if you like that stuff. There's actually some really good things in there that talk to you about the positioning of things and what types and your air tightness and blower doors and a lot of great stuff. And you know, if you're not going to build a house right now, maybe you're going to renovate because interest rates are so high right now and housing markets kind of dropped down, maybe you're thinking about renovating your house. That's also a good part to look into because there's a specific codes in there that dictate when you have to have an energy calculation done on an existing home. And kind of just the quick rules of thumb that I give to my team. And obviously we don't like using rules of thumb, but these are really good when we're talking to the homeowners. Is in Florida, the two things, one, we kind of call it like FEMA rule. If you are renovating greater than 50% of the square footage of your home, you have to have an energy calculation done. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So if you're adding a second floor and the second floor is greater than 50%, 2% or greater of the existing home, you have to have an energy calculation done. Well, because you're adding a second floor on it, you're going to have an energy calculation done anyway, because you're completely changing the energy footprint of the first floor. The other thing that we kind of do a rule of thumb when we're talking to people is the cost of the renovation greater than 30% of the assessed value of the home, not what the real estate person says, your property appraiser tax assessment on the home. You'd be surprised, especially recently when housing prices went through the roof. And I hope you weren't somebody that bought the house when the prices were through the roof, because in a couple of years from now, they're going to be probably, you know, a 30% less, if not more, of what they were. The assessed value, according to the property tax appraiser, is what the value is. So if you got an appraised $70,000 home, property tax appraiser $70,000, and you end up doing greater than 30%, your renovation is greater than 30% of that $70,000, you are going to be required to have an energy calculation done based on the items. Now, there's a lot of other little reasons that you would need energy calculations, but a lot of that stuff's on that page on chapter 4 of the Residential Energy Efficiency Code. So I hope this helped you a little bit to better understand about energy codes. And, you know, as we talk about, we're going to end up doing a YouTube video on this as well in the next up and coming weeks so that you can get some visuals on things. Take this in mind when you're going to build a new house, buying a new house, or renovating an existing house. Take a look at these energy codes before you get started to help you better understand the right thing for you. Well, everyone have an absolute blessed day, and we look forward to hearing from you and letting you listen to the next podcast we provide. If you have any specific topics that you'd like us to talk about, go ahead and send us an email at tom@procalcs.net, and we'll be able to go ahead and use that information to create some of these courses later on. And also, you go to theprocalcstore.com, and we actually have a nice little smoke stick that we sell on there that'll allow you to light it up and go around your house and see what type of leaks and gaps you have, and might be able to help you seal them up to create a little bit better, tighter envelope in your home. All right, everyone have a blessed day. We'll talk to you soon.